This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
I think Raphael Warnock was playing that song last night in Atlanta after he won the senatorial race with Herschel Walker, possibly. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works. That's Chubby Checker, of course. Boy, he's been around for a long time. I think he still is around. Anyway, I'm getting a little feedback here, Ed, just so you know on here. I'm going to try and change the mic. Hold on just one moment, boys. Well, we'll get that figured out, I guess. But we got a lot going on. Thanks to being with my buddy Big Ed Davis. And by the way, this is December the 7th, Wednesday, Pearl Harbor Day. We are going to be talking in a few minutes with Hans von Spakovsky of the Heritage Foundation. And we are going to talk about the problems with mail-in voting. He feels it is ripe for fraud, theft, error, all kinds of things. So stay tuned for that. And Raphael Warnock's victory in Georgia, handing Democrats a 51st vote in the Senate. How will it affect legislation and the balance of power in Washington? We are going to take a look. And now it's the post office that may be spying on conservatives. We are going to discuss that as well. Wow. And in our ultimate top 10, the top 10 longest borders in the world. Indeed. All right. Well, I cannot hear myself on the microphone here. I'm getting this very loud beep. And now I have come back again. All right. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to go to music, because since I cannot hear anything but a loud noise in my ears, Ed, can we do that? Because I... Thank you. Thank you. Hey, we are back, and I still cannot hear myself, but I don't have the hum, so maybe that's good. Hang on here just one moment. I think it's the box right here, Ed, just so you know. The lights aren't... Anyway, we will continue on. I can hear myself, but not through the earphones. That's what I want to tell everybody. We were talking a little bit about Senator Raphael Warnock and his winning of that Senate Georgia race last night. It was fairly close. Warnock's victory gives the Democrats a 51-49 margin of Senate margin, a little bit of breathing room. Now Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer and the Democrats, they're going to be able to do a little bit more. They will be able to approve, for instance, President Biden's judicial nominees. They will have the extra vote. And you don't need any kind of 10-vote majority in the Senate for judicial nominees, so they will have that. Not to mention, Schumer gets some wiggle room on tight votes since he no longer needs to keep Senators Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema on board for every liberal measure before the Senate. This comes as welcome news for Manchin and Sinema. And by the way, I can hear myself again. Thank you, Ed.
Yeah.
Ed is the station manager. Ed is the technical manager. Ed is the sports director. You would think Ed is the only one in the place. He does everything. He's the most important man in this enterprise. And he just, now I can hear myself again. But anyway, so Chuck Schumer has got some more wiggle room. He doesn't need to worry about a couple of stray sheep, if you might put it that way. Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema, who are Democrats but many times vote Republican. He won't have to worry about them switching over every once in a while. Now, here's the deal. On the House side now, Republicans have 222 seats. Democrats have 213 seats. So, obviously, the Senate's in the hands of the Democrats and the House is in the hands of the Republicans. So we're not going to get much done, which is probably a good thing. Because between the two warring factions, these two are not going to agree on much. One of the things they've got to agree on is how we're going to have any government money. And they don't seem to have the, whatever you want to call it, to get anywhere close to reducing deficit spending. So we're going to have a continuing resolution. And that's going to be a mess. Anyway, let us take our break. And when we come back, Hans von Spakovsky.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets. From animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune in to the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
we thank you so very much for being with us, and we're delighted to have our old friend Hans von Spakovsky join us. He is the senior legal fellow at Heritage Foundation's Meeks Center for Legal and Judicial Studies. By the way, he's co-authored a book, Our Broken Elections, How the Left Changed the Way You Vote. And coincidentally, that's what we're going to talk about. It's voting. Hans has got a piece that is in the American Spectator that talks about why we should not be promoting voting by mail. Hans, welcome back to Freedom Works.
Paul, thanks for having me back.
Hi, Hans. I cannot hear you for some reason.
You can't hear me? How about now?
So I'll tell you what we're going to do. Hang on just one moment, my friend. We've been having a few technical difficulties this morning. Don't know if it's the little box that's inside the studio or the big box that's out where Ed is, but we're going to be playing around with a couple of wires here. But let me tell you a little bit about, I believe I can be heard, but let me tell you a little bit about what Hans is talking about. He is talking about voting by mail. And as opposed to having precinct voting, voting by mail, I think we got it back, Hans. I apologize. While I was doing a little dancing here, Ed, I think maybe repaired this. But I was telling people that you are on the same wavelength I am. I am so worried about mail-in voting because I think it's ripe for fraud. I think it's ripe for error. You know, ballots that never show up. And you talk about that in your piece.
Right. No, I give actual numbers, Paul. Let's put aside fraud for just a second. Look, if you stick your ballot in the mail, is it going to get there in time by the deadline? Well, in 2019, the Inspector General of the Postal Service released a report on election mail. And they said that the Postal Service's goal, their goal, was to deliver election mail, which would include mail-in ballots, on time 96% of the time. So think about that. Even if they achieve their goal, that means still means that 4% of all of the mailed ballots would not be counted because they wouldn't make it on time. Now, the Inspector General said that nationally they came pretty close to that goal. 95.6% of the time they delivered it when they should have. But that was the national average. The worst mail processing facilities in the country were in places like California, Illinois, and New Jersey. That's probably no surprise to anybody. Their on-time performance was a little over 84%. So that would mean 16% potentially of the ballots mailed in those states wouldn't make it on time. I mean, that's just one big problem with using the mail-in system.
Yes, indeed. It's something that I've always worried about. Now, we have mail-in balloting here in Florida, and I would suggest that we might have it down better than anybody else, but I still worry. I still worry about how many ballots never make it for one reason or another. Then you got the thing about ballot harvesting, and you know, you got all these other things going on. And I'm thinking, why did we try to fix something that was not broke, Hans? Our election system, for all practical purposes, before mail-in balloting, was working just fine. And in fact, I would argue that we got the results a lot quicker, correct?
Yeah, that is exactly right, because it takes much more time to process mail-in ballots. You know, they have to be, the outer envelope has to be opened. You have to verify the name, perhaps a signature, an ID, if you're a state smart enough to require an ID, perhaps the ballot. Then you open up the inner envelope. Then you unfold. It just takes longer. And in particular, it's going to take even longer in states that have foolishly said absentee ballots. No, they don't have to be in by the end of Election Day. They can be in for days after Election Day, and that's going to delay it even more. And by the way, absentee ballots have a higher rejection rate by election officials than ballots cast in person. And the obvious reason is, look, if you're having problems in a polling place, there's an election official there that can answer questions and assist you. If you mess up when you're completing your absentee ballot, you stick it in the mail, and you've done something wrong, there's no election official there to fix the problem. And so the rejection rate is even higher. In fact, the 2020 election, more than 500,000 absentee ballots or mail-in ballots that election officials received from voters were rejected and not counted.
We are talking with Hans von Spakovsky. He is a senior legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation's Mies Center for Legal and Judicial Studies. We're talking about why we should not be promoting voting by mail. He wrote a piece for the American Spectator the other day about it. I think he makes great sense. Now, there's the argument, Hans, that, well, there are people that can't physically get to the polls, or their jobs are, you know, an issue and they can't get off work. But you know what? We figured this out before we ever had mail-in voting, did we not?
Well, yeah, although I'll have to tell you, my big problem is with states that have put in no-fault absentee balloting. In other words, anybody can vote by absentee without an excuse. I don't have a problem with limited use of absentee ballots for people, for example, who are too ill or physically disabled to make it to a polling place. And obviously, we need it, too, for our military personnel who are stationed overseas and can't vote in person. But nobody else ought to be able to vote with an absentee ballot. And it's pretty hard these days for somebody to claim that, well, I'm going to be out of town on business on Election Day, when most states have early voting literally for a week prior to Election Day. I mean, you know, what I say, Paul, is if, first of all, it ought to be severely limited, and second, you should put in security measures like requiring an ID for anybody voting with an absentee ballot.
Indeed. Indeed. And then you've got the other things. When you're doing mail-in balloting, it seems to lead to all of these other little issues, you know. We get into ballot harvesting. And
right.
I think a lot of people worry that, and we're still counting ballots in some of the states, maybe I'm wrong, for the November election. Maybe we've just finally finished it, but I mean, we've never used to experience this kind of a delay. And then
I
don't think anybody ever worried about, I mean, up until a few years ago with mail-in balloting, there wasn't any large-scale concern about fraud.
Well, you know, fraud's always occurred with absentee or mail-in balloting, but people, the percentage of people who voted that way was so small that it didn't have the kind of significant effect that it can today. But unfortunately, it can change the outcome of an election. Anybody who doubts that, just look at what 4 years ago we had a congressional race. In North Carolina, the Ninth Circuit, Ninth District congressional race, overturned because of widespread systematic absentee ballot fraud. And that was the conclusion of not some crazy conspiracy person, but by the State Board of Elections, which did an in-depth investigation of that election and, in fact, overturned it and said, we have to have a new election because of this fraud.
So do you think, Hans, that we are ever going to go back and put the genie in the bottle and go back to precinct voting, by and large?
I think it's going to be tough. I think what we can do is I think states can go back to saying you can only use an absentee ballot if you have a valid reason, like you're too disabled to make it to a polling place. And I think states will put in good measures like requiring an ID to vote, and hopefully they'll ban vote trafficking, what the left likes to call vote harvesting, which means states like California allowing any third-party stranger to show up at a voter's door to pick up their absentee ballot and supposedly deliver it, which, well, maybe they're delivering it, maybe they're not. You know, they pretty much know these days when they knock on the door of a particular house whether that voter votes Democrat or Republican, and putting completed ballots in the hands of party activists and campaign staffers is a really bad idea.
Well, Hans, it's always a pleasure to have you with us. Thank you so very much for being with us. I think this is such an important topic, and people are going to be talking a lot about it. Keep working on it, my friend, and I look forward to talking with you again down the road. All right. Thank you, Hans. Hans von Spakovsky. All right, we're going to take our break. And when we come back, among other things, it's the post office now. The post office that may be spying on conservatives, and we are going to take a look.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hello there, Tampa Bay. This is former NFL and college football coach Jimmy Johnson. Listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can sure use the attention.
And this is former Major League Baseball player, Hall of Famer Wade Boggs. I also hope you listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can darn sure use the money.
Hi there. This is marine wildlife artist and conservationist Dr. Guy Harvey. Please listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They need to feel worthy.
Hey, you new to the area or just want to know about the best hidden gems and upcoming events? Stay tuned. Be Local Buzz with Devin takes you to these places, introduces you to the best businesses, and tells you about upcoming buzz. Preset your radio to Tan Talk 1340 AM or 106.1 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. That is the Be Local Buzz with Devin on Tan Talk 1340 AM and 106 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. Looking forward to speaking with you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Oh, and I'm the type of guy who will never settle down. Where pretty girls are, well, you know that I'm around. I kiss them and I love them, cause to me they're all the same. I hug them and I squeeze them, they don't even know my name. They call me the Wanderer.
Back on Freedom Works. Thank you so very much for joining us. And I have a real issue here, Ed. You're going to have to take a look at this. I've got it down as my volume switch as low as it can go, and it's blasting in my ear. All right, let's see if that's a little better. That's a little better. So we got a lot going on. Did you hear about the Donald Trump situation? Two companies with the Trump Organization were found guilty yesterday on multiple charges of criminal tax fraud. And this is up in Manhattan, in New York. A jury deliberated for a couple of days, and they found two entities of the Trump group guilty on 17 counts. And that included conspiracy and falsifying business records. So this is not going to help Donald Trump in his rush to regained the presidency. Trump himself was not on trial, however, but prosecutors say he knew exactly what was going on. The case was built largely around a former finance chief of Donald Trump's. The guy's name's Alan Weisselberg, and he pled guilty for a lower sentence he decided to sing. He previously pled guilty that he manipulated company books to gain extra money for himself and reduce his taxes. And he only got a 5-month jail sentence, but it was only 5 months because they wanted him to sing. So he got up there and he sang. And that's probably largely why these two organizations were found guilty. So there you go. Not good news for Donald Trump. In the meantime, did you hear Joe Biden and what he said? He's going to go to Arizona. But of course, he's not going to go to the border. And he defended his decision not to go over to the border, saying that, quote, there are more important things. What? There are more important things than all the fentanyl that's coming across, killing all the people that it's killing? And the millions and millions of illegal immigrants wandering across the border? He's got more important things. What's more important? Eating ice cream cones? Going back to his basement in his Delaware home? What's more important? Biden made the defense while getting on Marine One. That's that helicopter. He's never visited the border throughout his presidency. I don't know there's any record that he's ever been to the border. It's really crazy. So he was asked by Peter Doocy, Fox News, why go to a border state and not visit the border? And here's his answer. Because there are more important things going on. They're going to invest billions of dollars in the new enterprise. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Then his press secretary, that stupid woman, dismissed Republican border visits as political stunts. Really? Do you think maybe all those border security agents that are working down there and working in horrible situations, look at the suicide rate, by the way, of some of those people, you don't think that it deserves a visit to the border? That Biden couldn't make that trip? What is wrong with him? You know? I just think it's unbelievable. September information showed that they had 2,400,000 migrant encounters. That's the highest ever recorded in a fiscal year. 2,400,000 border encounters. Can you imagine? And can you imagine how many get through that nobody sees? You know, it boggles the mind. It boggles the mind. All right. So, this is something kind of strange, I would say, and scary. House Democrats yesterday rejected a Republican request for information about the post office's surveillance program. Did you know they have a surveillance program? They operate something called the Internet Covert Operations Program, ICOP. And it works to assess threats to its infrastructure, employees, and customers. Reports have surfaced that ICOP was monitoring the movement of protesters, including ones that have claimed to have information on militia groups that might be threatening Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House. The Cato Institute apparently obtained records showing that ICOP has been used to track gun rights activists and conservative groups opposed to Biden. That drove Republican Congressman Andrew Clyde to propose a resolution into a look-see into ICOP. But committee, and he was on a committee that has that power. But the Democrats on the committee voted to kill the request for more information on ICOP. Now, why would they want to kill a request for more information on a surveillance program? Why would they want to kill a request, those Democrats? Unless they really did have something to hide. That just drives me crazy. That really drives me crazy. All right. One of the other things I wanted to talk about is this ongoing situation with Twitter, which is getting more publicity. I mean, you can't buy that kind of publicity that Twitter is getting these days. But Elon Musk, who owns Twitter, CEO, has now booted their former, let's see, what was this guy? Well, he was a former FBI general counsel. His name was James Baker. He was working for Twitter. He's been booted from the company for suppression of information. Among the documents, when Musk was going through some of these things in the Twitter files, there was a message from Baker, James Baker, about suppressing the Hunter Biden laptop story. And apparently Baker was involved in making sure it was suppressed on Twitter. He said this, apparently Baker said, "I support the conclusion that we need more facts to assess whether the materials," meaning the materials of the Hunter Biden laptop, "were hacked." He said, "It's reasonable to assume they may have been, and that caution is warranted." So, apparently, part of the reason that Baker was kicked out of the company was because he vetted the Twitter files also. That, you know, the files that Musk wanted to look at. He was getting himself involved in what's the word? Suppressing some of the things he didn't want Musk to see. So anyway, they kicked him out. Musk's revelations on Twitter's suppression of the Hunter Biden laptop has prompted another reckoning for the outlets that dismissed the story initially. The Washington Post, for instance, who was completely dismissive of the story of the Hunter Biden laptop as being authentic, eventually authenticated thousands of emails from the laptop, but it first published multiple opinion pieces that urged readers to dismiss the thing altogether. Then how about the networks? Over an 18-month period, ABC, CBS, and NBC spent a total of 25 minutes on the Hunter Biden story. And when they were talking about it, they often called it Russian misinformation. I mean, talk about suppressing something. I mean, people that say that the election in 2020 might have been different had people known about the Hunter Biden laptop, had the media just imagine how they would have covered this thing if it was one of Trump's kids
if with you the mentioned, laptop, if,
right?
If you mentioned
all
anything.
That kind of information, it would have been splashing it all over on the front pages. It's just crazy. Another network insider dismissed the Hunter Biden saga as bizarre, a sideshow fetish of conservatives. Now, while the original New York Post story was censored by Twitter at the time, journalists rushed to social media to dismiss and condemn Musk for their revelations now. So there you go. Look at the New York Times. They have ignored the whole Elon Musk situation. They ignored the story for over 24 hours
until
they published
too.
A single article that headlined "Elon Musk and a Very Modern Media Maelstrom." And that was published last Sunday night. So there you go. Anyway, we know that, don't we? That the liberal media have been trying to suppress this story forever. All right. So, Ed, I don't know if you heard this or not, but Time Magazine named their man of the year. Did you hear who it was?
No. Who was it?
Well, I'll tell you who it was. I can hear you, but not through the microphone. It's the president of the Ukraine. Vladimir Zelensky is the Times. It's no longer man of the year. Time Magazine's person of the year. He was named today. He, of course, has led Ukraine as it has worked to hold off a full-scale Russian invasion of the country since last February. You know, he has a background. He's a stand-up comedian and an actor. In fact, he played the role of president Who in did? A TV series.
Who did?
Crazy. Now, other candidates that were up for consideration for Person of the Year for Time Magazine, U.S. Supreme Court, the whole U.S. Supreme Court, Representative Liz Cheney, and Elon Musk, who we were just talking about. And by the way, Elon Musk was last year's Time Magazine Person of the Year. How quickly we forget. They've been doing this, by the way, since 1927. It used to be called the Man of the Year, or the Woman of the Year, if it was a woman. Let's see here. So that's interesting. I think it's probably well-deserved. It's probably well-deserved. All right, let's take our final break. And when we come back, among other things, going to tell you what are the top 10 longest borders between countries in the world.
You can never know what it's like. Your blood like winter freezes just like ice. And there's a cold and lonely light that shines from you. You'll wind up like the wreck you hide behind that mask you use. And did you think this fool could never win? Well, look at me, I'm coming back again. I got a taste of love in a simple way. And if you need to know while I'm still standing, you just fade away.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
Hey, you new to the area or just want to know about the best hidden gems and upcoming events? Stay tuned. Be Local Buzz with Devin takes you to these places, introduces you to the best businesses, and tells you about upcoming buzz. Preset your radio to Tan Talk 1340 AM or 106.1 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. That is the Be Local Buzz with Devin on Tan Talk 1340 AM and 106 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. Looking forward to speaking with you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Come fly with me, let's fly away. If you can use some exotic booze, there's a bar in far Bombay. Come fly with me, let's fly away.
Hey, we are back for the final segment of Freedom Works, and we thank you so very much for being with us. By the way, we are here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Tantalk Radio Network. But we know you got other things to do sometimes between 10 and 11 a.m. So therefore, thanks to Big Ed, all of our shows are put on tape, on podcast, and inserted very nicely, compactly, into our website. And our website is OurFreedomWorks.com, O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Just go into the website, click on the podcast button at the top, and Ed's got all our shows, most recent ones at the top. He lists the guests that we'll have and the topic and also our top 10. Bless him, OurFreedomWorks.com. Okay.
Coming up.
So I was looking at this... Well, I wanted to talk a little bit about a story that I saw in the news here. And you know the old saying that you're as old as you feel? Well, apparently, some studies are now showing that that is true. Studies are finding a link between people's subjective age, what they feel like, or their psychological age, and their real age. And they say that psychological age can differ from your chronological age. And some psychologists and gerontologists say there might be ways to improve physical health by making yourself feel younger, or at least taking a positive attitude toward aging. It says feeling older than your chronological age apparently is associated with a higher likelihood of dementia, frailty, stroke, and heart disease. Now, this is research by scientists and academics. So, let's see here. There was a German study of 2,400 adults over more than 20 years. Participants who said they expected to continue to grow and develop into old age lived an average 13 years longer than those who did not expect such growth. Isn't that interesting, if that's true?
How old were they?
Here is a professor, I guess this is in Germany, a woman. She said, it is really good and important to feel younger. It is soft protection. If I feel younger, I am more motivated to be engaged and active. So, I don't know. Interesting. Can I don't know if I can hear Ed. Ed, can you? I don't think I can hear him. All right. Here's something for you kids that are in Virginia, if you're lucky. You can be a member of an after-school club called After School Satan Club in Chesapeake, Virginia, in an elementary school. They have a new offering for students. It's called the After School Satan Club. According to a flyer, the club is scheduled to convene in its library as of December the 15th, where students can learn about benevolence, empathy, critical thinking, problem solving, creative expression, personal sovereignty, and compassion. That's interesting. Can you get that from the Satan Club? Apparently you can. Now, here's what they say about this club, or what these people that are forming this club say. They say the Satanic Temple is a non-theistic religion that views Satan as a literary figure who represents a metaphysical construct of rejecting tyranny and championing the human mind and spirit. That's about the nicest thing I've ever heard about Satan. Do you remember the church lady on Saturday Night Live? She used to talk about Satan. She was funny, one funny woman. Anyway, so this is the after-school Satan Club. Some parents in the school district say the club does not need to be in the elementary school when children are so young. I would say that they might have a point. However, lawyers say the school must make room for the club because of its affiliation with religion. In other words, if you have any religion to begin with, I guess you got to make room for Satan.
Yep.
So the After School Satan Club. Glad I'm not in Virginia, and I'm glad I don't have any kids that are in elementary school anywhere near that school district. We were talking a little earlier about Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin, and now that the Democrats have 51 Senate seats, they won't have to worry so much because if one of the two, Kyrsten Sinema or Joe Manchin, go off the reservation on some voting. Well, Senator Joe Manchin's legislation to spur oil and gas drilling was left out of a national defense bill after both conservative Republicans and left-wing Democrats raised objections. The Republicans in the Senate, the left-wing Democrats in the House. Manchin says that leaving this pipeline deal off the books would have serious consequences for our energy independence. Here's what he had to say. The American people will pay the steepest price for Washington once again failing to put common sense policy ahead of tribal politics. He said, this is why American people hate politics in Washington. Now, Democrats were hoping to include the pipeline legislation, which, by the way, overhauls permitting regulations for oil and gas drilling. It makes it a little bit easier, apparently, especially in West Virginia. They were nixed after bipartisan opposition. Within the House, several left-wing Democrats threatened to vote against it if it included Manchin's permitting legislation. In the Senate, it was the Republicans who were in opposition. Those lawmakers said that Manchin's permitting bill did not go far enough to spur oil and gas production and keep up with a new environmental regulation. It did not go far enough to spur oil and gas production.
Again.
So, that's too bad. We need more pipelines. We need more expansion. I don't know why they are where they are. There's not more common sense. Anyway, I'm going to have to hear you through the window, Ed, but before we get to our top 10, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about what the Buccaneers, again, winning that game on Monday night, coming from behind. I think they were home. And they weren't they down in the game in the fourth quarter? What, I mean, Tom Brady comes through again, right? Yep.
16-3.
Okay.
16-3.
I can't hear you, but I can hear you through the window. I don't know what's going on. We're having a gremlin in the building, I must say, today. So let's do this. Let us get to our top 10 right now. These are, I think it's pretty interesting. This is the top 10 longest borders in the world between countries. And this comes from Statista.com, all right? So here we go. Top 10 longest borders in the world. Number 10. Number 10, it's the United States-Mexico border. And it is 1,944 miles long. All right, number 9. India, Pakistan is number 9, 1,978 miles long. Wow. Number 8, Brazil, Bolivia. I have to look on the map sometime. 2,110 miles long. Wow. All right. Number 7. Number 7 is Russia, Mongolia. Russia, Mongolia, 2,140 miles. Mongolia is that country that is sort of Chinese, Russian, you know, they got a little bit of both. Very interesting. Number 6, China and Russia is number 6, 2,562 miles. All right, number 5. Number 5 is Bangladesh and India. 2,568 miles long. Number 4. Number 4 is China and Mongolia. Now that's Mongolia with Russia. Now we got Mongolia with China. It's 2,871 miles. Wow. Number 3. Argentina and Chile. Now if you look on the map in South America, you can see both of those countries are very thin, but they are very long. 4,148 miles. I'm going to say that again. 4,148 miles of border. Number 2. Kazakhstan and Russia. Kazakhstan and Russia. 4,739 miles. Wow. Okay, Ed. I can watch you... I'll lip read here and see if you can have any idea. Do you know what the two countries are that share the longest border in the world?
Canada and US.
Bingo. Did you look? You're right. 5,514 miles of border between Canada and the United States. Now, I wonder if they also include the border between Alaska and Northern Territories up there. But 5,514 miles.
And I didn't cheat.
Wow. All right. I think we're going to, because of our technical difficulties, if we might, can we end a little early and play a little music? Hopefully, we'll have things better and in better shape when we come back to you on Friday. But in the meantime, be careful out there, drive safely, and please remember, that freedom works.
Oh, well, come on, everybody, and let's get together tonight. I got some money in my jeans, and I'm really gonna spend it right. Well, I've been doing my homework all the week long, and now the house is empty and my folks are gone. Woo, come on, everybody. Number one, but I'm gonna dance with three or four. And the house will be a shaking from the bare feet, a slapping on the floor. Well, when you hear the music, you just can't sit still. If your brother won't rock, then your sister will. Woo, come on, everybody. More running around with the usual crew. Who cares? Come on, everybody. Come on, everybody.
Summertime. Oh, well, my mom and papa told me, son, you gotta make some money. If you wanna use the car to go a ride next Sunday. Oh, well, I didn't go to work, told the boss I was sick.
Now you can't use a car cause you didn't work or live.
Sometimes I wonder what I'm gonna do, but there ain't no cure for the summertime blues. I'm gonna take 2 weeks, gonna have a fine vacation. I'm gonna take my problem to the United Nations. Well, I called my congressman and he said, quote,
to help you, son, but you're too young to vote.
Sometimes I wonder what I'm gonna do, but there ain't no cure for the summertime
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by General Steel.
I'm Steve Kathan. A case that could reshape American elections is before the nation's highest court.
Even though these are federal elections, state lawmakers are the ones who decide on a lot of the details. But state courts can override them. Republicans in North Carolina don't want them to intervene, giving them final say. Attorney David Thompson.
The Elections Clause requires state legislatures specifically to perform the federal function of prescribing regulations for federal elections. States lack the authority to restrict the legislature's substantive discretion when performing this.